Hey everybody, how you doing tonight? Everyone join EFF tonight? Yeah. My name is Andrew Greenberg. I'm on the board of Georgia Normal, as well as a variety of other organizations. I brought with me my lawyer and my bodyguard. No wait. I'll let them introduce themselves really quickly, and then we'll talk a bit about the movies and jump into them, followed by Q&A.
Hi, I'm Cara Mikus. I'm a paralegal out in Colorado, currently working towards getting into law school, and hopefully we'll be able to answer and clear up some legal questions that maybe Andrew can't.
My name is Jason Mitchell. I'm a sergeant with a local agency. I've been a cop for 12 years. I'm not supposed to disclose the agency that I work for my agency, but I'm not here necessarily to tell you to always comply with what officers ask of you. But I am here to provide perspective on from a law enforcement officer's perspective, and then I can probably address a lot of local or Georgia issues.
Yeah, and very quickly, this video showing and Q&A that follows grows out of another session we've done in the past called Busted, which we'll be showing again tomorrow night, which is more hands-on how do you deal with the specific instances. Busted, a Citizen's Guide to Police Encounters. This grew out of it because there have been a lot of theory questions. This Don't Talk to Cops, a very interesting video. Anyone ever heard of Regents University? This is Pat Robertson's university. This is a lawyer from Pat Robertson's university who's about to tell you don't talk to cops. And it's very funny because he uses examples of Bush administration officials getting in trouble for talking to cops and Republican senators getting in trouble for talking to cops. So it's a little different perspective than you usually see in these sorts of videos. But anyway, this is very factual, very hands-on, but it's also a little more theoretical than what we do tomorrow. So I recommend also coming to tomorrow's session. We'll all be here again on Busted, which is the more hands-on, more tactical, what you need to know literally in the streets. So with that, I turn it back to Scott and Police Station. All right. We'll do some brief statements if you two want to, and then open it to Q&A. Again, I like it dark, man. Okay, you can turn the lights on.
Well, it's up to you.
Fine.
It's totally your
thing. Fine, turn the lights on. Let them see you. How ugly I am tonight. My only excuse, I've been doing panels since 10 a.m. today. I'm actually on my sixth, so that's why I look so bad. Jason, you want to do some brief... You got anything to say really briefly? I was going to make a couple quick comments and then turn over to QA.
No, I prefer Q&A.
Okay. The only things I'm going to say very quickly is, first of all, again, this is the more theory-oriented one, the more hands...
We had a question about where to get the copy of it.
It is online.
It's on
just
YouTube.
Don't talk to cops. Just Google that. It's parts 1 and 2 on YouTube. Grab it. Show it to everyone you know. Busted is also up there, the one I'm showing tomorrow, but we'll have a good Q&A with that. Again, good panel for that sort of thing. Again, more theory today, more hands-on tomorrow. Oh, and the other thing, he's talking don't talk to cops. Understand there might be a time to confess. If you're in trial, you're pretty much going to have to be talking about some stuff. We are talking about the stages. You haven't seen a lawyer. You're in your interviews with them. Get your lawyer. You're probably, if you got a good lawyer, you're going to want to follow that lawyer's advice, and they might tell you other things to do. Go with, as a general rule, your lawyer's advice, building a strategy in case. Oh, shit, the lawyer person is going to say otherwise.
Before you even reach that point, he was talking about your Miranda rights / warning. One very important part here, if they have not given you your warning, you can look at that officer and say, am I free to leave? At that point, if they say you're free to leave, you are not under arrest. Shut up. Leave the building. Because at that point, again, you are not under arrest. If they say you are not free to leave, they have to read your rights. Ask for your attorney. Again, shut up. Wait for your attorney.
I think there needs to be a distinction there in the three tiers of police citizen encounter. Because I can go up and I can talk to anybody. Because just because I put on polyester, I don't change from being a human.
He dances better than
anybody. You don't want to see me dance. Anybody can go up and talk to people, and generally that's how, like, the way I want to approach somebody, I want to approach them in a voluntary police citizen encounter because I don't want to have to mess with a bunch of nonsense. I want it to be friendly. I want people to be at ease and give me information. There's a second level of encounter based on reasonable suspicion, and this is more in the street, and a lot of what we've been talking about has been like in the interrogation room and more of the TV cop stuff. But there is a point at which you are not free to leave, but you are not in custody. Traffic stops are a really good example that a lot of people have had examples with. There is no charge me or release me is not a dichotomy. I have a little bit of time to make a decision on the side of the road about how I'm going to handle things as long as I get you out of there in a reasonable amount of time. So there you're not under arrest, and you may be free to leave. When you're on a roadside encounter with law enforcement, it kind of amuses me when people say charge me or release me, because the answer is generally going to be pretty simple. Okay, turn around, you're under arrest, because we're just kind of talking about stuff right now. But if you want to go that way, that's fine. And then the third level of encounter where Miranda does apply is in when you're under arrest. You've been put in handcuffs. The cops aren't letting you leave. But just keep in mind that there are three levels, and there is that one place, you know, when you're on a traffic stop, it's not, am I under arrest? Okay, then I, you know, you drop it in drive and take off. That's not going to be a good day for you, because we're going to come find you.
And I would not ask, am I under arrest? It's, am I free to leave?
Yeah.
Keep it polite. Oh, and I'll say this. Anytime you do deal with police, even if you're not talking to the cops, keep it polite. Keep it non-confrontational. They are human beings, et cetera, et cetera. Don't give reason for stuff to escalate.
You can get, I mean, we have a really good example of that lately with the thing with the guy up in Harvard, whose name I can remember.
Gates.
Yeah, I mean, that was Gates. Totally a thing where, you know, the sergeant goes to this call thinking, I don't know what this is. You know, he goes there thinking, I have a burglary. Hey, that we're gonna get this guy stopped. Gets up there, is like, well, this doesn't seem right, but well, let's go ahead and ID the guy. Just, you know, cover our bases so that nobody can come back and say later I didn't get my job. And then you start bumping chests, and that's not a good. It's just not a good position. I mean, aside from just being rude, in that case, it wound up having some limited consequences for the guy, and we wind up with this kind of interesting debate in the national media where. It was, I think, a lot of people kind of missed what really happened there.
You can shut up politely. All right.
The point that I want to make is that, I mean, it sounds really good in theory, plain and simple. Don't talk to the police if ever you're in a situation. But the police do have interrogation techniques or interview techniques, however you want to phrase it, that can be intimidating to an individual and can force a person to confess to something that they had absolutely nothing to do with, simply because they're being intimidated and feel threatened that if they don't admit to something, they're going to be injured or possibly killed. I mean, you do hear stories like that where people are forced into confessing to things that they had nothing to do with simply because they were intimidated by the police officer during questioning. So what would be, I mean, the proper way to handle things if indeed someone is being intimidated?
Know your rights.
Yeah, if you want to shut things off, the easiest way to, this is not as quite straightforward as it used to be. If you really want to shut somebody in a custodial situation, if you want to shut somebody down, tell them you want to talk to a lawyer. If you're in a lower level encounter, if you're on a roadside thing, lawyers may not be important. Particularly DUI stuff, especially in Georgia, the lawyers are going to come later. Where you don't get a chance to consult with lawyers unless the officer really wants to and is going to loan you a cell phone. but in the lower level encounters, you can say, "I don't want to speak to you about this." You can say, invoking your right to an attorney once you're in custody. That would be the easiest way to shut down an interrogation. Now, that's not going to shut down all law enforcement activity. If there's still an arrest to be made, the arrest is going to be made. If there are other issues, particularly with implied consent rights, it's if in a DUI situation, you don't get a consultation. It's you got to make the call. Consent, don't consent. The officer really doesn't care.
I'm actually from New York City, and I know. Are you familiar with the Central Park jogger case back in the late 80s? A group of youths were arrested and when were found guilty of raping this woman who was jogging at night in Central Park, and they were all basically convicted based upon their interrogation sessions with the detective who was investigating the situation. And it was determined that 10 years later or 15 years later, they were all found innocent, and it was determined they were all sentenced because they were intimidated during their interrogations.
Yeah, something Jason said, you'll hear me say this repeatedly tomorrow during Busted when you all do return for the more technique session, and that is that it is better to be arrested than convicted. Being arrested is going to fuck up your day, your weekend, your month. Being convicted is going to fuck up your life. So for the folks in this room, the don't talk to the cops rule still applies. Do it politely. I'd like to talk to my lawyer. I've got nothing to say to you.
And in general, as soon as you utter the words, something along the lines of, I'm not going to speak, you say something about the Fifth Amendment, as soon as something along those lines come out of your mouth, everything turns.
So politely.
You need to be explicit. Just don't say. We had a case in our county, I think the Court of Appeals here, where it was, I think I need to talk to a lawyer. That's a little bit vague. It was upheld at trial court. It was overturned in the appellate court. But you need to be explicit. I mean, in any encounter you have with the law enforcement, I mean, if you want to invoke your rights. Now, I think there are some times where it's probably best. I think there are times where you are better off to consent to certain things. If you're not carrying anything, if you're out, if an officer were to ask me, hey, can I pat you down or can I search your person? Sure. That's going to put the officer at ease. I'm not carrying anything. If the officer is going to ask me to search my car, no. That's going to take a lot of time and he's not going to find anything of particular interest. Yeah, I have guns around. I'm a cop. I'm always going to have that. But be explicit about what you're doing.
Jason and I will disagree on that, but we'll disagree on it tomorrow.
Hi. I have a question, and I'm really glad there's a police officer here because I've wondered this for a long time, and I've never gotten the opportunity to ask, and it's something I've wondered about, like, forever. Okay, you will hear stories of cases that come out where people are prosecuted, where within the criminal justice system, certain people, either the police officers or the prosecutor, had to have known that the person was innocent. Similarly, and I'm not saying this is a lot of the time, it's probably a very, 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 very small percentage of the time. Similarly, there are police officers that do plant evidence. There are police officers that do conduct themselves, I would say, illegally. I was curious, because you don't often hear, like, for instance, within the medical community, I come from a medical field, when you have a doctor that is a bad doctor, you have generally other doctors that will say, that doctor's a bad doctor, don't go see that doctor, or will, within the AMA, move to get that person taken out. I don't see, same thing with teachers also, because a lot of my family's in that. I wonder if there is a similar thing within the law enforcement community, because I don't tend to see it, which could just be that I don't notice it or it's not publicized. I was just curious if you could comment on it. Thanks.
Well, first off, I mean, just to talk about, are there problem officers out there? Yeah, there are 300 million people in this country, and I don't know how many cops there are. There are some guys out there that do some stupid stuff. And a lot of the things where you hear about officers getting terminated or officers getting charged with things, I mean, well, who's doing that? It's not a defense attorney coming in investigating an officer. Might start with something that actually judges are. I've seen people get terminated real fast when a judge picks up on something. But so a lot of it's going to be an IA that's going to go after somebody. My impression is that law enforcement. I really haven't seen a cop that was, I guess, dirty. I mean, sometimes we wonder about people, but you never see anything that you can sink your teeth into. Once it becomes clear that there's something going on with somebody, from what I've seen, we're pretty swift to change sides. I went from being writing a statement in support of a guy that I went to breakfast with every day and I thought we were buddies, And to the next day, once I found out where we were actually at with that investigation, I was like, that guy needs to get convicted, and I don't understand what the grand jury is thinking not indicting him. But so if somebody were to really see it, it's when you're up in the moment, I mean, there's a lot of psychological stuff that goes into that. If you're caught up in the moment, sometimes, yeah, you're going to have cops who are going to want to not talk about things, or they might try to, cook something up if they're, like, there in the moment. But if it was, like, something that I see and I'm not out of it, then I think we're going to be pretty straightforward about getting rid of it.
I'll give a quick anecdotal story. The Red Dog shooting here in Atlanta, everyone heard about a couple of years ago, shot an old lady.
Was that Red Dog?
Pardon?
Was that Red Dog?
That was Red Dog.
Oh.
And, well, actually, then you might contradict my story, because I used
I don't know.
I was a reporter before before I started designing games back in 90, and Red Dog was already out on the streets. And other cops didn't like Red Dog, but they just thought they were obnoxious. So I don't know if anyone necessarily knew anything was, that what they were doing was illegal.
Yeah. All right, quick two-parter. And these may be specific to the state of Georgia under Georgia state law.
Okay.
One, if a cop asks you a specific question in regards to identification, are you required to respond, and are there any other questions which are you required to give a police officer an answer to outside of the courtroom?
The general answer to that, like if you go onto like the websites where they talk about really simple law that, or where they try to make the law simple, they'll generally tell you, yes, you have to identify yourself. I think there's kind of more going on with that. If you're subject to an investigation, or if you have information that's going to be relevant to an actual investigation, you're going to have to provide enough information to identify yourself.
Right. The Supreme Court has ruled that if state law requires you to be identified, it requires you to identify yourself, the state law is legal and constitutional. And generally, my understanding is interpreted as you have to positively identify yourself. What that means is vague. ID, you say who you are. Honestly, you don't lie to cops, period, when you do have to talk to them.
Yeah, that's a felony.
That was the whole Martha Stewart thing. But
yeah, but not
right
lying,
now,
but specifically. In a case, for instance, the recent spats with people walking out of Walmart, and Walmart sending the cops for hire after them, that are maybe off-duty cops, and they say, give me your ID, I want to know who you are. You may not be under arrest at that point. Are you required to say, I don't have my ID, is that a valid response?
Probably. I mean, you don't necessarily have to show a license unless you're driving a car. And if
right.
you're driving a car, you're kind of in my world. You get to play by my rules. But
my understanding is the Supreme Court has said that if the straight law says identify yourself, and Georgia's got that law in the book.
Yep.
Well,
right.
sort of.
Yeah. And the second part,
it's not as clear as a lot of websites like to make it out, because they refer to our loitering statute, which is kind of interesting in and of itself. But I think there's some implied powers with being law enforcement if we have a reason to contact you as a witness or a suspect.
All right. Now, the second part of that is if you encounter someone who's giving you questions and you think they might be a police officer, whether undercover or not, if you ask them to show you identification, are they required to?
If they are, it's going to be by agency policy. It's not a state law.
Okay.
And they probably will want to, because that establishes their authority. I'm going to want to identify myself as quick as possible, because that brings into a whole different set of laws. You throw a punch at a person, a security guard, it's a misdemeanor. You throw a punch at me, it's a felony. And I like people going to prison for fighting with me.
I have... two questions. First one is, are there any limitations to sleep deprivation torture that you can do in interrogation?
Well, there's no real statute on it. We have a statute on it in the state of Georgia? That's not a statute.
The Constitution provides that you will not have any forms of torture used against you.
Well, it's a reasonable. Well, it'd be Fourth Amendment, and it'd be that's a reasonable seizure. That's where all use of force law comes from.
No, it's part of coercion, which would throw out a state.
Well, that's what I would eventually get to. But
the United States and federal courts and here in Georgia.
But there's no statute saying what.
A federal court and a habeas hearing will toss that out. If it's something like deprivation. You've been kept up for a certain amount of hours, you will not have.
There was a case where someone kept up something like 48 or something ridiculous hours.
That's
at that certain point in time, though, you will have had to have been taken before a magistrate.
The federal courts on a habeas hearing said that's not a proper confession. They tossed it. Then there was not sufficient evidence to form a conviction, and the case was unable to be prosecuted in the future.
Avoid it by not talking to cops 48 hours into your out.
It has to be a free and voluntary confession. So if you're doing stuff like that to people, that doesn't sound very free and voluntary to me. I mean, okay, so well. That, but there, as far as like a statute saying that you have to, you know, so many hours, well, you have the 48-hour hearing before a judge. But
yeah, at that certain amount of time, you will have had to have been taken before a magistrate. Otherwise, they will have been you will have been kept well outside of what is within their legal purview. And any confession that you will have made at that point will have been thrown out.
You're not likely to get anything that way. I mean, who's going to stay up that long?
I've got a question about a traffic stop I was involved in. I was towing a trailer in my truck. I was licensed and I had the tag on it. The officer didn't see it and I had a taillight out. Well, I checked my taillight before I left. So he pulled me over and I had a pistol with me and my AR. I was moving between houses. AR is an assault rifle.
No.
Well, it's a civilian version of an assault rifle.
All right, hi.
It's a rifle.
It's a gun with bullets.
So I had both of them there, and before he wanted me to get out, and I was going to show him where my tag was. I was like, you know, before I get out, I've got firearms in the vehicle. So we get out and show it, and he says something about he doesn't want to have to shoot me, and I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. Whatever. You know, it was dark out, whatever. And then at some point, he wanted me, I told him I had my permit, my concealed carry, my weapons carry permit. And he wanted me, he said something about me clearing it, and I'm like, okay, sure, I can clear it, that's no problem. And he said, no, wait, just hand it to me. And then he walked off with it. I was in the military, Marine Corps, you don't just ask someone for their weapon and then, I mean, in boot camp maybe, but outside it's taboo. So where does that go legally? You know, if an officer wants me to surrender my firearm to him, do I have to? I mean, because if he's just worried about being shot, I got my AR right here with four mags of 30 rounds.
That's an interesting situation. My general thing is I'm not going to be really, I'm going to try to separate somebody from their weapons in the vehicle. As far, I mean, never really seen statute or really even a good story like that.
I'll short circuit it with, don't talk to cops. and I'll follow that up with, I mean, if we'll get into a whole issue on searches when they get to search a car, and there will be more conversation on guns tomorrow. That always is a key part of the Q&A for busted, but that is a good example where it does create an issue.
I would have had no problem.
I'm not talking.
It seems to know he voluntarily handed him your gun.
Yeah.
And that's what
happened. I was worried if I didn't. I mean, he was already talking about shooting me. And I
so you have no protection. You waived it when you gave it to him voluntarily.
And you need to come. You need to be with us tomorrow. I expect to see you tomorrow night. At 8:30 in here? Yeah, I expect to see you at 7 o'clock in here tomorrow.
You have to come to all the EFF sessions. You don't want to have to come to your house.
Hey there.
Hey.
I have three very straightforward questions, and the first one is all panel.
Yes, no, 42.
Oh, I love you. the polygraphs. I know that they are constitutionally not allowed in court cases, but I hear a lot of times that cops will use them in interrogations. Why? Is it just fear tactics?
Yeah.
Primarily.
Okay.
Yeah, they have no evidentiary value whatsoever.
Unless you allow them to have it. Unless
you can sign a waiver.
Unless you say I want it in there.
Okay.
Yeah, but I have such mixed feelings about polygraphers because they're giving up so much. Polygraphers are generally going to be very experienced interrogators before they even bother to send you away to school for God knows how long to do it. Actual polygraphy, I think, is like 2 week school to get started in, or 2 month. Voice stress analysis is a week. And But the thing is those guys are just damn good interrogators, and they'll get you to confess to stuff because that's part of our BI.
Okay.
And they don't work, in my experience.
I always
show deception.
BI mean?
Background investigation.
Okay, my next one is, again, all panel. As far as not talking to cops, if you're a witness at a scene, like, you could be dragged into the case. I mean, like, what do you... You still want to do your obligation as a citizen, but you don't want a whole bunch of crap on you, so what do you do?
Well, I say talk to the cops.
Yeah, there is a difference. This is talking about where you are conceivably in some way under suspicion. Now, cops may come to you pretending you're not under suspicion and get you to confess and can use whatever they find out talking to you in court. But if somebody's broken into your house, call the cops, I've been robbed, and I'm not going
to
talk to you.
No, I mean, like, you're at a scene. Like, there's already, like, you're at the mall and you were a part of a robbery. Right. Like, you just witnessed.
Right. I'm a big fan of doing your civic duty.
Yeah.
I mean, I always have. I'm a big fan of everyone doing their civic duty, including not killing each other and all that kind of good civic duty stuff. This is talking, they are more directly addressing the idea of you are under suspicion, you may be under suspicion, et cetera, et cetera. Right. You've been tapping foots with the guy in the stall next to you, that kind of stuff.
This is my very last one as directed to you, officer. I've always been curious on television shows where you see the person stuck in that little room with the chair and the tables. What are the bathroom rules?
One for the girls, one for the boys.
I'm not really sure. I mean, it's like one of those things is there's a lot of things that are out there that there's just not like any law. It's just like whatever is going to work in that situation, that's what you do. You know, you want the person to relax? Hey, yeah, it's right down the hall. I'll guide you over there. But I mean, it's just gonna, it's a lot of things are driven by scenario, and there's no law because either it's never been an issue, and some of that is always just kind of bug me. It's like, when do you really run the red light? Is there a statute for it? I mean, is it when your back wheel clears the intersection? Some states they have specific law on it. In Georgia, there isn't. Just says then when the light's red, you have to stop. If you're in the middle of the intersection, you're obstructing the intersection. It's the first ticket I wrote. I don't care how fast you go, but by God, don't stop me from getting somewhere.
I think this probably addressed to all three members of the panel. I have a feeling for most of us, this more commonly would come up in the officer's number one scenario in intermediate interrogation or just discussion. I can see where don't talk to the cops is important if you're actually brought in for interrogation. The professor gave really good discussion about that. But I guess I'm wondering, before you're brought in for discussion, this most commonly come up, I guess, with just a traffic cop for most of us, a traffic stop for most of us, whether you talk with someone, because it seems as though sometimes if you don't talk, you're going to get somebody annoyed with you, and they're more likely to give you the ticket, and or maybe even more likely to bring you in if you do that. Is that likely to happen?
This is a weighing the risk sort of thing. Again, I mean, if you're talking about a traffic ticket, we are talking about a different level than someone accusing you of armed robbery or hacking or tax fraud and so forth. What we are generally discussing here is you are under suspicion of something where what you can say can incriminate you. Again, being arrested is better than being convicted. It is better to get a ticket for speeding than to have them convict you of who knows what else by getting a search. That's all. A bunch of that will be in tomorrow's discussion as well. So, I mean, if you're pulled over, generally speaking, a speeding ticket's what you're going to get, whether you cooperate or not. Generally speaking.
And generally, the less said, the better. Like, sir, do you know how fast you were going? Well, yeah, I was doing 47 and a 35.
What should your response be then?
No, I'm sorry. I took my eye off because I thought I saw something over there. I'm not really.
That might be a lie.
I wouldn't even go.
That sounds like a lie.
We're gonna talk. We're gonna see a whole traffic stop tomorrow. You're gonna see the right way to handle a traffic stop. So tomorrow we'll go into that one. So you gotta come back tomorrow too.
Sir, do you know how fast you're going?
Yes. That'll get a chuckle. Actually, two instances where one, I got pulled over for going in Connecticut. If you're going over 20 miles an hour over the speed limit, they arrest you and pound your car, and you have to post bond. That's just the way it was. And I was going well over 20 miles over the speed limit. And the cop pulls me over. The first thing, I couldn't find my driver's license. Not my driver's license, my registration. It's a very long story. I won't tell you here why. But I had to borrow his flashlight to look for it in the car. I finally found it. In the meantime, my front left fender was dented because a friend had damaged the car while I was at sea. And so he said, "Where are you going in such a hurry?" And so I told him I'd been at sea for like 4 months, and there's this girl waiting for me. And I told him it was a totally true story. And he got done. He says, "Okay, you're in the Navy. They're going to come get you if you don't show up at court. Normally I'm supposed to take you in and everything, so I'm going to give you a straight ticket. You better come to court." And I was polite, and I told him the truth. And unlike, I didn't take the advice of this guy. Of course, it was many years ago. And just recently, a couple of years ago, our house up in North Carolina was broken into. And so we were driving up there to board the thing up before the vandals get a hold of it, which didn't help because about a year later they burned it down. But, it was on the National Historical Register and everything. It really kind of bummed us all out. But in any case, the cop pulls over and says, "You going to a fire?" I says, "Maybe. Our house is broken into, so we're trying to get up here to board it up before the," and he says, "Okay, I'll just give you a warning. So, if you're nice, you know," I didn't tell him how fast I was going, by the way. I might have given him a yes answer. I'm famous for those, but, you have a question.
But this is, there's a difference between speeding tickets on Broadway and
all that. I've got to cut it off, because we've got the next
thing. Tomorrow, busted, here, 7 p.m. I expect you all.